I want you to turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 2, page 1174 in our Pew Bibles. Reading from verse 1 down to verse 10. Let us hear God's word. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for in advance for us to do. And then turning to John chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Let us pray together. Father, we asked that the power of your Holy Spirit is poured out upon the preaching of your word. That, Lord, as we humble ourselves before you, you will be made present. That you will be changing people's lives for your glory. And I ask God's people to pray for me. Bless us as we spend time together. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Spirit gives life. Pause and reflect on those words just for a moment. The Spirit gives life. It's So what is it we experience without God? What life is it that we lead? Even though our bodies function, even though we walk, we talk, we play sport, we engage with our families, we go to work, even though our heart pumps blood around our bodies, and even though at times we might find ourselves a little frail and have to attend the doctor, what distinguishes what we do every day of the week with our physical bodies and what we know to be absent, even though our heart continues to pump and our brain still continues to function? What is it that the Bible describes that qualitatively separates the flesh that we live and the spirit, and what the spirit wants to impart? Paul makes no excuse. He does not lack clarity. He is a man of concise words on occasions, though his truth is often hard-hitting. And he sums it up just in one simple sentence: as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You had no life. You were controlled by your flesh, by your ambitions, by your desires without God. Rather than leaving you with a sense of fulfillment, it just left you with decay. A decaying life. Without any real sense of joy, without any sense of happiness. It was a walking death. Every part of you functioned as it should do normally. When you went to fill a glass of water, your hand naturally reached out. But there was a drought inside. Any Christian here understands what living with God was actually like. Without God, we felt the futility of our existence. We enjoyed certain things about it, but we never felt truly satisfied nor content. We were broken beyond repair. We could not fix ourselves. We were dead in our sins and helpless. Powerless to change how we felt and what we knew needed to be done. Nicodemus himself was so overwhelmed by his sense of dissatisfaction that he made a nightly journey to Jesus. He said, "Jesus, tell me what to do. I've been a religious teacher all of my life, but I still feel that there's something missing." And Jesus said, "That's because there is. Religion has not fixed it. It has pointed you towards what is absent, but it has not led you to me. But your footsteps tonight in the darkness have come to listen to my teaching. And I want to say something to you, Nicodemus. You might be religious, but you need to experience something that you haven't experienced up to this point. As it is, with all your religious functionality, you're still dead. No life." And in the quietness of that moment, in the stillness of the night air, Nicodemus heard teaching that changed his life. It was a simple teaching, although he misunderstood it. But one day, and we know as we gather from Scripture, that his awareness changed. But it began like this: Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth." Now think of that phrase just for a moment. "I tell you the truth." I don't know what the facts are surrounding your life, Nicodemus, but here is the truth. And I want you to listen up and I want you to pay attention, because what I'm about to say will change you, is what Jesus was saying. "No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." No one. That includes you, Nicodemus. And to be perfectly honest and frank with you, I don't care how many children you've taught in your Sabbath school. I don't care how many good actions you have performed, but you're not born again. And I know from talking to you that you know also that there's something missing. And in that moment, Jesus said something quite extraordinary, quite supernatural. You need to be born again. You need to be born again. Recreated. In fact, the Greek, rather than born again, would suggest that it means to be born from above. The flesh gives birth to flesh. Human existence gives birth to human existence. But the spirit brings life from above, not below, not created and fashioned in human image, but in the image of God. The Spirit of God gives life. You need to be born from above to experience this living, refreshing life experience that I alone can give and I alone will purchase for you on the cross of Calvary. This wonderful transformation that takes death and destroys it and gives life in place of decay. This is the experience of being born again. This is the experience of being born from above, not from below, not governed by the power of the prince of the air and all that is decaying, the stench of the devil's breath. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and His breath. I want you to think about the Spirit and the Spirit's role and the Spirit's function in this giving of life, in this recreation of you as a human being, being born from above and not from below. The Spirit's power needs to be at work. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. A simple verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty over the surface of the deep. Is there an analogy to your life? Do you sense something in that description? The earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the face of it. It had no shape. It had no life. It was a piece of rock. There was no beauty. There was no divine image as present. It was just a piece of rock. And without God, in our sin, we're just a piece of flesh. We just function. We're formless, empty, darkness. No light, no life. No energy of God, no vitality, no change, no transformation. Human existence. Barely recognizable as what God intended. But in this passage of time and in this encounter with this piece of rock, something began to happen. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. What a wonderful description. Just about to do something. Hovering. The Creator God. Just waiting to create something of beauty. Something of substance. Something of wonder. Something of change. Being able to take a formless piece of rock, empty and dark, and transform it into a wonderful creation. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, in His vital power of transforming. Because that's what He does. And He hovered over that piece of rock. Then as they began their work, they created. They created. And then they created man. And they looked at man. And he was lying on the earth. But he had no life. They had created something of beauty, but that life needed to live. And in a moment, that Holy Spirit, the Creator God, breathed into a formless body. His breath. And there was a jerk and a movement. And this creation called man began to twitch. And suddenly what had been dead and incapable of life, and no scientist on earth would have had the capacity to bring that body to life, but the Spirit of God, hovering, breathed. Suddenly the twitch became animated into life. And Adam stood to his feet and he breathed in the air that God had created. And he became a living human being out of nothing. Because the Spirit hovers. And He wants to transform. And then we move forward to Luke chapter 1. Verse 35. Then the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." But you might be saying, what on earth has Mary got to do with me? Everything. Everything. Who was placed in her womb? Jesus. Who could make that possible? Joseph? No. The only person who could make that possible was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came and she conceived. The Holy Spirit brought life to someone incapable of producing that life. The Holy Spirit came. And I think that's a wonderful, wonderful description. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." Is that what you want? Do you want the Holy Spirit to come upon you? Do you want the Holy Spirit to breathe life into your body that's lying on the earth? Do you want the Holy Spirit to come upon you and to overshadow you? Is how it's described in Luke chapter 1 verse 35. To overshadow you. To create within you this life from above that can only come from God. To take what is dead and animate it. To take your life and, as Jesus promised, to bring it to fullness. Only God can do that. Only God can make that change. Only God can make that transformation. Human effort can never achieve it. Turning over a new life will never bring its fulfillment. It can't happen for human beings. They're incapable of actually doing it. That's why we need the Holy Spirit of God. That's why he has been commissioned by Jesus, sent by Jesus. I go so that the Spirit may come. I can teach you every day on earth. I can show you these things. I can illustrate these things to you. But the Holy Spirit is the transformer. The Holy Spirit hovers over the waters. The Holy Spirit is able to bring life to those that are dead. It's the Spirit of God. And you were once dead in your sins, Paul talks about, but now you're made alive in Christ. And the only one that could do it was the Spirit of God. The only one that can do it for you, Nicodemus, is the Spirit coming from above. You need to be born again. You need to be born from above. When you are infused with this life, when the Spirit comes, he changes you, he transforms you, he gives you joy, he gives you peace, he gives you life to the full. Let the Spirit come. Let the Spirit come from above. Let the Spirit wrestle with your heart. Let the Spirit change you. Let the Spirit convict you. Let the Spirit be poured out upon you. Do not wrestle anymore with the brokenness of your life. Do not try to fix it or change it for yourself. Let the Spirit come. Just as the angel said that he would do for Mary, let him come to you. As he did to Nicodemus. As he did to Adam. As he does to everyone who opens his life to the Spirit of God. Only then will you receive the joy that you're seeking. Only then will you experience change? Are you ready? There are people praying for you right now. They're praying for you upstairs. The Spirit will come. Come into your life. Some of you have spent most of your life resisting the Spirit of God. But not today. Because unless the Spirit comes, you cannot be born again. You cannot be transformed. You cannot be changed. You must open your mind, your heart, receive him. And then a new life begins. A wonderful new life begins. A journey begins with God. We walk with him in the garden. When the Spirit breathes life into our bodies, when we twitch, we animate, we change, we begin to walk with Jesus, just as Adam walked in the garden. Do you want to walk with real life and not simply function as a human being? Do you want to get up in the morning and see God? That's what Jesus said. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born from above. Without God, what we see is a kingdom on earth with its rules and regulations, with its disappointments, with its failures, with its short-sightedness, with its selfishness. But when we're born from above, we see the kingdom of God. We see the trees differently. We see the sunset differently. We see life differently. We see love differently. We see each other differently. We see God differently. When that happens, we've gained eyesight. We see a new kingdom, a new purpose, a new place for you and I right now. Let us invite the Spirit to come into our lives. Let's invite him to hover over us and then indwell us so that we're changed. Let us quieten our hearts. Let us bow our heads. I want you to take a moment as we begin to listen to the ministry song and reflect upon what has just been said. And what you will just hear in song. And then make your response to the Holy Spirit working.